Meeting of the Senate Resources Committee to order. Let the record reflect it is 3:30 p.m. Monday, February 4th, 2019. Let the record also reflect that we have a quorum and present are Vice Chair Coghill, Senator Giesel, Senator Bishop, Senator Reinbold, Senator Keel, Senator Kawasaki, and myself, Chairman Birch. And let's see if we have any legislators in the audience. I see none. Please turn off your cell phones if you are turning them to silent. With that, I'd also like to recognize our Senate recorder, Jeannie Foy, in the front here, and then Eric Heimbigner, who is our moderator, and will be assisting us with public testimony later on this afternoon. The purpose of our meeting today is to discuss the governor's appointment of Doug Vincent Lang as a commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game. The mission of the Department of Fish and Game is to, quote, to protect, maintain, and improve the fish, game, and aquatic plant resources of the state and manage their use and development in the best interest of the economy and the well-being of the people of the state consistent with a sustained yield principle. The department's major program areas include habitat, commercial fisheries, sport fish, subsistence, and wildlife conservation. We'll begin this afternoon by hearing some opening remarks from Commissioner-designee Vincent Lang, and then move on to committee questions and wrap up by taking public testimony. Please come to the microphone. Please place your name in the record and give us a little information on your background and qualifications.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, committee members. My name is Doug Vincent Lang, and I'm the Commissioner-designee for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. For those of you who may not know me and people on the radio, on the teleconference that may not know me, let me give you a little bit of background about myself. I grew up in Wisconsin, learned to hunt and fish with my grandfather, Otto. Many fine hours of fishing on the back of a boat for panfish out of lakes in Wisconsin. Many quality hours spent with him. I received my undergraduate degree from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And I graduated in 1978 with a undergraduate degree in biology and population dynamics. I then took a change in my life, applying to graduate schools all across the nation, and one of the schools I got accepted to was the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and I was pursuing a degree in biological oceanography. So I came to Fairbanks, drove up in 1978 in August, hit Fairbanks, and one day later it snowed 3 inches, and I was looking for the ocean. It's a long ways from Fairbanks. But after the next 2.5 years, I graduated with a master's in biological oceanography from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And I worked for a little bit of time between the North Slope of Alaska and Fairbanks. But then I got an opportunity to work in Anchorage studying the Sioux Hydro Project for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And for the next 34 years, I had a career with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in a wide range of different activities. I started with the Susitna Hydroelectric Project. What a great job that was. Got a boat, and with another crew member, was out looking around for fish resources in the Susitna drainage and categorizing their habitat needs with the hope of assessing impacts from the hydroelectric dam and the fish and wildlife resources. 28 days a month out in the field. It was a great job. And then after that project ended, I went to work in the sport fish division for the next 20-some years and did a wide range of projects for them. I was an area management biologist on Seward for a couple of years. Then I went into the research field and was a primary research biologist for the marine fisheries in Region 2, which is the North Gulf of Alaska. Then I spent a couple of years as a research and management coordinator for those different fisheries. Got involved in the council and the IPHC doing halibut work. So I got familiar with the federal council process and the international treaty processes with halibut. We also worked pretty Kelly Hepler and I worked together to develop a funding plan to build hatcheries both in Anchorage and Fairbanks using a bond package that was actually paid for with no general fund, rather paid for with a hatchery surcharge on our sport fishing licenses. It was unique across the nation to that way of funding a hatchery operation. And I can say I'm looking at it back to right now. It was a really good way of doing it because we're paying those bonds back quicker. And again, we use no general fund from the state to build them, and we're now producing fish at those hatcheries. And then took a break again and went into the commissioner's office to get into some policy work. I worked in Arctic policy, marine policy, and policy related to the Endangered Species Act. And I spent about 5 years doing that. Again, that was a great job. That was supervising really nobody, but getting involved in a bunch of policy work that was really critical to the state of Alaska. And then the last 3 to 4 years, I again took a shift and I became the Director of Wildlife Conservation. And that was a great job too. Got to lead the Wildlife Conservation Division, continuing my ESA work, but get my feet wet on wildlife management across the state. And then I retired. And I can tell you, retirement's a really good gig. You get to set your own schedule, and you get to spend time with your grandkids and ride your bike and exercise when you want. And I actually wasn't looking to do another job. But when the governor called me and asked me if I was interested in becoming the Commissioner of Fish and Game in early December, I actually took my time to think about that decision, because I know this is a big job. I know it's a hard job, and it's a job you got to be dedicated to do it. So I took that time to figure out whether I wanted to do the job, which I determined I did, and then I got my family's commitment to do it, and they were kind enough to let me go for a little while to do it. And then I called the governor back, and we had a discussion about shared objectives and goals, and I said yes. So I'm enthusiastic about doing the job. I'm eager to take the challenges ahead. A little bit about my philosophy. I believe the Commissioner of Fish and Game is managing public trust resources. And when I say public trust resources, they're the public's resources. They're not mine. They're the public's. They've entrusted me to manage them. So that incorporated in that is I have to have their trust to manage them if I'm going to be successful. And that means I got to be talking to people. So I'm going to have a very open door policy. We might not always agree on every issue, but it's not going to be because I'm not talking to people. So, again, public trust is integral in my management philosophy. The other thing is leadership. I firmly believe that I have a responsibility as commissioner to seek a lot of input in making a decision. Again, at the end of the day, we might not always agree on a decision, but I told staff early on, as I've been visiting him and talking to him, that they can hold me accountable if I'm not asking their opinion when I'm making decisions or getting their input. That they can hold me accountable for. They can't hold me accountable for making a specific decision based on their recommendation, because decisions are based on a lot of different factors when I make them. My goals are pretty simple. I want to put food on the table of Alaskans. I want to ensure trust by the public and the department. I want to preserve the state right to manage. And this is a critical element of my philosophy. We fought hard as a state at statehood to get rights to manage our fish and game resources. We fought hard during the NILCA battles to preserve those rights. And I still think to this day the state's a better manager of our fish and game resources than the federal government is a long ways away. I think you'd rather be talking to me than some bureaucrat back in D.C. 4,000 miles away. And finally, I want to assure the next generations of hunters, fishers, anglers, and, of course, commercial biologists to manage these resources. I'm getting worried all of us are turning gray in the hair, and it's time to get the next generation out there both hunting and fishing and managing our resources. Finally, before I turn it over to you for questions, there's been a couple people that have pointed out to me some of the weaknesses in my curriculum, and one is my commercial fish background. Yeah, I don't have a big commercial fish background, but I've been around the Board of Fish, I've been around the Council, I've been around the IPHC, and I've been involved in issues. I think I have the skills necessary to learn commercial fisheries management, and I've been reaching out to the commercial fishing sector across the state, and as I've made hires in my department to proceed the next 4 years, I've reached out to them asking what they wanted in terms of commercial fish director and a deputy commissioner that's in charge of fisheries from 300 to 200 miles out, and I've talked to them. So I feel confident about my abilities to manage commercial fisheries. Second one is Prop 1. When I was a private citizen, I came out against Prop 1, and I still stand to that decision today. I think it's wrong to rewrite our habitat regulations by a voter initiative. That said, I'm a very strong supporter of habitat. I think we're fortunate to have a lot of habitat in our state supporting our fish and wildlife resources. And I think as time goes along, it's appropriate to look at our habitat regulations to make sure that they're the right set of regulations and rules, and we should be updating them as necessary. And finally, active management. I read in the paper that if you were a bear or a wolf, you ought to be running to the Canadian border right now since I'm in charge. I do support active management. I read the Constitution, and I read it again this weekend. And I think the framers of our Constitution meant for our populations to be managed actively, not passively. So we will do active management in the Department of Fish and Game. We're going to do it on a scientific basis. We're not going to just go hell-bent and killing wolves and bears, but we are going to actively manage our populations for the benefits of Alaskans and our economy. So with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you for your presentation, Mr. Vincent Lang. We'll see if we have any committee questions around the table. Senator Kawasaki.
Thank you. Thanks again for being here. Commissioner, I have a handful of questions. I guess the first one we'll just start off with is a question that I also asked of the DEC commissioner, because you will be involved in some of this. But do you concur that human activity, including burning of fossil fuels, agriculture, deforestation, industry, is the primary cause of climate change?
I do agree that climate change is affecting our fish and wildlife management, and I do believe that we should be addressing climate change as we do any other factor in terms of fish and wildlife management.
Okay, so, Mr. Chairman. So the question is it, do you actually concur that there are a lot of science that backs this up as well? And I know there's mitigation. That's the second follow-up to the question, but I kind of wanted a straight answer on that.
Senator Kawasaki, calling for a straight answer is—I think it's kind of impugning the program we've got going this afternoon. If you have questions, I think proceed.
I mean, it's a question because this is an agency that deals with science, and you mentioned science in your initial testimony. So I just wanted to get that on the record.
Well, again, let me answer that question. Department of Fish and Game is the only department that has a climate change assessment on its website. Is climate affecting our fish and wildlife? Yes, it is. I'm not going to get involved in the causes of climate change, but I am going to get involved in what kind of a factor it does in terms of sustaining our fish and wildlife resources. So, yes, I am going to consider fish and climate change as an impact to fish and game resources. Is it going to be the most immediate impact that I look at on any specific issue? Maybe, maybe not, depending upon the factor. So it will be one of the factors I consider in terms of managing our fish and game resources.
I have another different question.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chitina, big important fishery for me particularly. I like to go. This was actually the only year I haven't gone in about 20 years. I was a little busy. We always hear about the you can tell when the commercial fishery is going because they have that dip before the fish migrate up to where we fish in the canyon there. How will you prioritize or allocate the fisheries resources between subsistence, personal use, sport, and commercial? Or how will you directly or indirectly impact that?
Well, clearly the decisions regarding allocation of resources belong with the Board of Fish. So we will work with the Board of Fish in whatever allocation scheme they have. But clearly subsistence is the priority of all those uses.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Designee Lang, welcome to the process.
Thank you.
And you and I have had more than one conversation on this topic dating back to your prior tenure in a previous administration. And I think you were in a room with three of us, senators and Fairbanks, on a conversation about cow moose harvest. And I would just like you to consider, and I'm glad to hear you say that you're want to use science to make decisions, and I'm glad to hear you say that you're willing to be talking to a lot of people to help you make informed decisions. And so what's your opinion about using UAVs to maybe do some pilot projects for cow moose surveys?
Well, we've had, through the chair, we've had this discussion many times, and I remember 4 years ago when we had the discussion, unfortunately the state didn't have the long-range capacity to use UAVs to do aerial moose surveys. I've since learned discussions with you that University of Alaska Fairbanks might have a drone now capable of flying much longer than a 20 or 30 minute period of time, because we need a drone that'll basically fly a 100-mile transect across the thing. So yeah, I'm very interested in talking to the University of Alaska Fairbanks and entering into some kind of an agreement with them to assess the feasibility of using that drone to count moose. counting moose has become increasingly challenging, especially with delayed winters. So we're looking at different technologies now. One of them is infrared, and if we can perfect that technology, especially using a drone, that would be very useful.
Thank you. Other questions? Senator Rainbolt?
Thank you, and thanks for being here. I know you have a long history, and so it's great that you bring quite an amazing resume to the table. What my question to you is, I've got a lot of complaints about sports fishermen, and I want to know what role you play if you know, in regards to sports fish and, of course, commercial fish. Have you directed any closures at all, or is that not, you know, is that out of your purview? And if you have directed closures this year, what's the long-term goal?
Well, I think one of the biggest closures I've had since I've taken this job was Northern Cook Inlet. When I got the job, within the first week, I was sat down and presented with projections for the streams for Chinook salmon in Northern Cook Inlet. We, even without any fishing, we weren't projecting to get half of the escapement we needed to prefer for long-term sustainability of those runs. So we closed sport fishing, commercial fishing, personal use fishing, and we partially restricted subsistence fishing based on a discussion with Tionic to ensure for the long-term sustainability of those runs. So I won't hesitate to close fisheries when necessary for long-term viability and sustainability, but we're going to do it based on talking to people. And the biggest criticism the department got last year was not giving enough advance notice regarding those closures. So this year we did that in January when we issued the forecast and we issued the projection at the same time.
And can you just explain, I mean, to the listeners and also to me and maybe other people, that how serious is this? What rivers is this going to impact, and what, you know, what areas of confish, what areas of sport fish, and how significant of an impact is this going to have, and what has been the pushback this year?
Well, it's significant. It's basically the entire Northern Cook Inlet drainage is in the Susitna. It's the Little Susitna River. It excludes the hatchery runs that are going into the Clutton and in the Anchorage area and most of the west side streams. And it's the set net fisheries that occur commercially out in the front of the Susitna drainage. And again, we looked at every possibility. We looked at whether we could leave the sport fisheries open to catch and release. But even that level of mortality was, in my mind, high enough to justify their closures in the long term. So, yeah, it came at a cost. But, again, I think it was the right thing to do given long-term impacts.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, welcome.
Thank you.
Little bit of a parochial question first. In the last round of Pacific Salmon Treaty negotiations, the big sockeye producer in my district, or one of the big sockeye producers, Otaku River, we gave up some of our share of sockeyes to the Canadians. A lot of unhappy people in my district. One of the things that came with that, I think, was a promise of some federal funding for much better science, much better counts. It's not clear to me whether that's going to happen. Can you shed some light on where that is? And if that money doesn't come through, what recourse Alaskans have for our share of the resource?
I'd be glad to answer that question. Probably other than the Northern Cook Inlet drainages, the Pacific Salmon Treaty has caused me to get more gray hair than I had when I took this job 2 months ago. The Salmon Treaty was negotiated with some reductions for Chinook and sockeye up and down the coast. The Chinook reductions were, I wasn't in the room for the negotiations, but they were probably somewhat justified given the overall status of Chinook reductions, Chinook levels across the northern Gulf Coast. Sockeye was also reduced because of concerns in Canada and the lower 48 streams. The whole treaty was negotiated based on a premise, or predicated based on a premise, that there would be a mitigation package that was federally funded to offset some of the losses Alaska took. They included loss to increase money to the state of Alaska to increase hatchery production and marking to offset some of those fishes, because any hatchery fish we produce are counted as add-on fish to any losses we took. The second piece was to give us money as the state of Alaska to manage our fisheries in accordance to the stipulations of the treaty, and there were new stipulations that required some additional management costs to the agency. And third, and probably most important, there was money supposed to be dedicated to mitigate the impacts to orcas in Puget Sound and endangered species in Puget Sound. Well, for some reason, the group before me signed that treaty without any assurance of the money coming our way. And probably of the three pots of money, even if I was a fisherman, I'd probably be most worried about the pot of money going to orcas in Puget Sound and salmon in Puget Sound, because if that money doesn't come forward, NIMS has threatened the state of Alaska with pulling its incidental take permits to prosecute all of our fisheries. So we are working hard to get that mitigation funding packaged. As a matter of fact, I may be making a trip back to D.C. in a couple of weeks to with our compatriots from the lower 48 to lobby for some of that money. But in short of that, I have put the U.S. commissioners in the salmon treaty on notice that the state of Alaska is going to be looking at what happens in 2 years if we don't get that money.
Any additional questions before we go to public testimony?
Just a quick one. How much money are we talking about?
It's on the order of about $50 to $60 million.
Senator Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just another quick question. Right now, there's an expedited environmental impact statement coming down for Pebble. You, as the person that's in charge of the Habitat Division, will have some sort of say, and I just wanted to know how you're going to protect states' rights and whether you've got enough support. I mean, we recognize there have been cuts to your agency over the last several years. Do you feel like you have enough, or is it going to take more time?
Well, I can't tell you what I believe about Pebble since I'm a permitting authority on it. However, any large project such as Pebble makes a person that's giving permits out, you know, cautious. We're going to take a look at that project like we would any big project. And we just went through the scoping document. I can tell you we reached into all the different divisions of the Department of Fish and Game and asked them what should be examined to evaluate impacts as part of that scoping process. Everything staff wanted to evaluate got forwarded on to DNR and eventually into the Army Corps of Engineers. So there was no vetting of the kinds of information staff wanted to see to make an evaluation of it. I am confident, because it's an EIS process, ADF&G is going to have more than enough information to assess Title 16 responsibilities as we move forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, we had some discussion here at the resources table earlier this session about some economic opportunities in mariculture, in hatchery restoration, and there was some public comment about the balance between the precautionary principle and mariculture. And so, as a representing a region that's got a lot of mariculture potential, how do you see, not to comment on any particular permits, but how do you see the department balancing some of those internal tensions that you've got both missions in your agency?
Well, clearly we have a lot of ocean out there, and I think there's some opportunities for mariculture to occur. I haven't made a formal commitment yet on the mariculture bill that's in front of you yet. We're still looking at that, especially in terms of fiscal impacts and a variety of other things. But clearly, you know, when you look at hatchery production across our state, it's adding to the economy of the state. So I see mariculture as another opportunity to add to the economy of the state. I don't think I'd want to put it right on top of some of the more heavily used areas of the state, but again, we have a lot of coastline.
Different topic.
Sure. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Shifting maybe to one of the more heavily used areas of coastline.
Okay.
Have heard a fair amount about a decision the board made on location of a meeting coming up, Cook Inlet issues, and there's, I think, safe to say, a fair amount of concern both about the decision about how it was made. I'd like to get your thoughts, Commissioner. Not going to ask you. I know you answer to the board, so I'm not going to ask you to get into what they did. But your thoughts about the value of hearing from folks in a variety of areas of the state, folks directly impacted.
Well, I try to leave decisions of where the board wants to meet to them, as long as it doesn't cost a significant amount of money to my agency. If it was a significant cost difference, then I will engage. But in this one, there was very little cost difference. So I try to let the meeting location up to them, because it's their board. I think in the case of this situation, I think we were healed from everybody, regardless of whether that meeting is in Kenai, Anchorage, or the Mat Valley, because it's all relatively close to each other. So I think there's value in the Board of Game and Board of Fish process. If I can't hit a whole meeting, I try to get to the meeting in public testimony because that's when I learn the most. So.
That concludes questions. Okay, at this time. At this time, we will go to public testimony. Thank you, Mr. Vincent Lang, for your presentation. If you'll remain in the room, what we'll do is we'll take public testimony, and following that, we'll give you an opportunity to kind of close out when we get past that. Looks like we've got some folks signed up online, and we'll go for a 3-minute limit. I would encourage any written testimony. Our Senate Resources Committee is actually supported by Trevor Fulton, who's behind me and works in my office. And Trevor fields any of your letters or written communications are distributed to the committee members for consideration. And you can address those to the Senate Resources at akledge.gov. With that, is there anyone in the room who would like to testify in this commissioner candidate? Seeing none, we will move to our online. Sure, there you go. We'll move to our online. Got a new operator here, but I think we have, I believe, a Virgil Umphenor. Umphenor, thank you. In the Fairbanks LIO. And Mr. Umphenor, if you're online, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Virgil Umphenor. I live in North Pole. I've known Mr. Vincent Lang for approximately 25 years. I worked with him when I was on the State Board of Fisheries on several different projects that him and I worked on together. I also worked with him on issues, some related to game, some related to cow moose, other game issues and fish issues as a chairman of the Fairbanks Fish and Game Advisory Committee. My experience with Mr. Lang is that he is exceptionally well qualified. He may be the most qualified, I know he's the most diversely qualified person that's ever been in the position that he's in currently. And I believe he demonstrates the leadership principles that are taught to military officers when they're trained to be officers. And his integrity, I believe, is beyond reproach. His knowledge is in the subject matter pertaining to fish and game management is very extensive. And I highly respect Mr. Lang, and I wish him good luck. Thank you.
And thank you for your testimony, Mr. Umphenor. And I just want to reinforce that we do have a public testimony open, and I'll reinforce that with the gavel this time. Let's see. Next, we have signed up. We have Mike Crawford in the Kenai LIO. Mr. Crawford, are you online?
Yes, sir, I am.
Please proceed.
You there ready for me?
Yep, we are. We can hear you fine.
I got to stop watching the TV. My name is Mike Crawford. I'm an Alaska resident. I reside in Soldotna, Alaska. I'm currently the chairman of the Kenai Soldotna Fishing Game Advisory Committee. I'm also a director-at-large for Safari Club International. I first met Doug Vincent Lang while I was at a Board of Game meeting. And representing the advisory committee here, and I found him to be open-minded. I found that he understood the importance of opportunity and food security issues for Alaskans. I found him to be an expert on federal overreach issues. He had a very professional opinion, easy to talk to person. After his stint as a director of wildlife, I also got to know him through my affiliation with Safari Club and the connection there. I think his has a very diverse qualifications in his background. He has expertise in fisheries, hunting, his knowledge in ESA issues is great. He's pro-state right issues is fantastic, and the most important one is common sense. So I look forward to dealing with Doug Vincent Lang in the future here as our commissioner, and I'm excited to see him being on board.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Crawford. Next, we move to Sam Rohrer, president of APHA in Kodiak. You online, Mr. Rohrer?
I am. Thank you, and good afternoon, Chairman Birch, Vice Chairman Coghill, and Senate Resource Committee members. Thank you for giving me this time to testify before your committee this afternoon. My name is Sam Rohrer. I'm a hunting guide from Kodiak, and I'm also the president of the Alaska Professional Hunters Association, also known as APHA. The APHA represents a big game guiding industry in Alaska. Today, my testimony is on behalf of our support for Mr. Vincent Lang's appointment as Commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game. Our support of Mr. Vincent Lang is based on three important considerations: conservation and sound wildlife management, commitments to building public trust, and a sincere desire to see ADF&G set the highest standards nationally. First, in regards to conservation and wildlife management, during Commissioner Vincent Lang's tenure as Director of Wildlife, it became clear to myself and to many of our members that his number one priority was wildlife conservation and sound scientific management. An excellent example of this commitment is how he approached bringing science and defensibility to the intensive management program. Intensive management, or IM, as this committee knows, can be a controversial program. Alaskans who rely on wildlife and enjoy hunting recreationally generally support IM, while Alaskans who don't rely on wildlife for food and believe that nature should just take its course, they generally oppose these target programs. But regardless of a person's bias in support or opposition to IM, everyone agrees that programs should be justified by sound science and research. As Wildlife Director, Mr. Vincent Lang identified the need to reform the department's approach to IM. As guides, we support intensive management, but we understand more is not necessarily better. Mr. Vincent Lang's tough reforms as a Director of Wildlife demonstrate his commitment to scientific-based wildlife management. On the topic of commitment to building public trust, we all like to say we may disagree, but at the end of the day, we can still work together. As Wildlife Director, Mr. Vincent Lang was a fierce advocate for his staff and his division. However, he was also available to meet with stakeholders and work through tough issues involving division policies. Once we understood that his commitment to work through disagreements was sincere, we began to trust him and the division as a whole. As president of a group that relies on wildlife to make our living, I can personally vouch for the fact that Mr. Vincent Lang successfully built trust with us, and from that, I'm confident he will continue to do so with sincere efforts as commissioner. And lastly, Alaska Department in Fish and Game is a national leader. Our state is home to iconic species of fish and wildlife not found in any other states. Alaska was granted full authority to manage a fish and wildlife within our borders when we became a state, and Alaska rights are therefore balanced with the responsibility of conserving and using public trust resources. From our observation, Mr. Vincent Lang's staunch support of state wildlife management authority is balanced by his commitment to fulfilling our responsibilities for sound management. Our support for Mr. Vincent Lang as commissioner is a manifestation of our trust that under his leadership, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game will work towards maintaining its position as a preeminent fish and game department in North America. The APHA strongly supports the appointment of Mr. Vincent Lang as commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and we ask that you forward his name on.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Rohrer. Appreciate it. Next, we move to Vic Van Valenberg, Anchorage. Vic, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Victor Van Valenberg. I'm a 45-year resident of Alaska and have worked as a wildlife biologist here the entire time. I was appointed to the Board of Game three times by two different governors. Governor Dunleavy was sworn in on December 3, 2018. One of his first acts on that day was to appoint Doug Vincent Lang as acting commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game. 1 month later, Mr. Vincent Lang sent a letter dated January 2nd, 2019 to the U.S. Department of the Interior. The letter contained a 41-page enclosure, 41 pages, detailing a long list of grievances against the department and its agencies, the Bureau of Land Management, the National Park Service, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Included were at least 65 specific recommendations on a wide variety of topics pertaining to fish and wildlife management. Generally, these were intended to repeal certain federal regulations, amend federal statutes, modify federal policies, and revise agency directors' orders in order to rectify a perceived federal overreach of authority and denial of states' rights. In fact, the recommendations, if adopted, would hamper the mission of the federal agencies and prevent them from managing fish and wildlife resources on federal lands according to directives in federal statutes. After passage of the 1980 Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act that established millions of acres of new National Park Service preserves and new Fish and Wildlife Service wildlife refuges and provided directives for their management, federal managers sought collaborative relationships with the state of Alaska. In recent years, these relationships have eroded as the state has taken an increasingly aggressive posture toward wildlife management issues. As demonstrated by his letter of January 2nd, Mr. Vincent Lang, if he is confirmed, intends to accelerate this unfortunate process. The resulting conflicts will not benefit the state or the federal government. Given the importance of federal lands to Alaska's economy and to conservation of its resources, we deserve a fish and game commissioner who understands the importance of working with our federal partners and who will strive to build collaboration with federal agencies. Mr. Vincent Lang is not that person, and I urge you to oppose his confirmation. I requested the LIO to fax down my written testimony, which contains some specific points that I cannot address in 3 minutes. I encourage you to read my testimony and to note my specific points regarding this letter, which makes Mr. Vincent Lang's positions abundantly clear. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Ballenberg, and thank you for that submittal. If we receive that in the office, we will absolutely share that with committee members. Thank you for your testimony this afternoon. Next, we have also in Anchorage, Nancy Bale.
Can you hear me?
We sure can, loud and clear.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Nancy Bale. I've lived in Alaska since 1971 and spent over 20 years living in the Alaska bush winters and working in Denali National Park summers. In 1996, I moved to Anchorage to work as a nurse, but continued to pay attention to wildlife management issues in Units 20A and 20C particularly. I believe in the Board of Game and Advisory Committee system and have used the Board of Game process to forward proposals regarding wildlife management at the boundary to Denali National Park. I've testified both before the Board of Game and before the Resources Committee. I met Mr. Vincent Lang once during an NPS hearing on the regulations for National Park Reserves. I have listened to him testify, and I have read his position. He is certainly qualified based on executive experience with the department. However, based on Doug Vincent Lang's public statements and management focus, I am concerned as an Alaskan citizen. I spent many years just adjacent to the boundary of the park and worked next to or inside the park for more than 20 summers, living in the bush just outside the park during winters and during that time hunting and eating moose meat. I'm not an anti-hunter, and I believe in using our resources for the benefit of Alaskans. However, I believe the presence of Denali Park and other federal conservation system units within Alaska is a good thing and is undervalued by both the legislature and the Department of Fish and Game. Just as many tourists travel to Alaska to hunt on both state and federal lands, which include BLM, Forest Service, Wildlife Refuge, and NPS, so also tourists come from all over the country and the world to enjoy the federal conservation system units. There is a good balance here, but little state celebration of it. Our state is famous for both types of activities and both these approaches, and I think the government needs to recognize that more in its policies. So much of what I see from Mr. Vincent Lang is anti-federal sentiment and accusation. In some cases, this stand is not reasonable, accurate, or reflective of the broad public consensus within Alaska, or of the Memorandum of Understanding signed by Commissioner Scoob and Director Cook in 1982, post-ANILCA. In particular, I disagree with Mr. Vincent Lang regarding whether the Alaska National Park Preserves have the authority to prohibit certain hunting practices because of safety and NPS management concerns. The prohibited practices, currently under reconsideration in Interior, are minimal when compared to those hunting practices still allowed on the preserves. However, if you listen to Mr. Vincent Lang, the federal government is seriously limiting Alaskans' access to wild meat. This assertion is blown way out of proportion, not only by him, but by many in power, including members of the Board of Game, in my view. I am not here to suggest that there are not important compromises that could happen between Alaska game managers and federal land managers in a number of areas. However, I am here to say that so-called barriers presented by federal managers are not a significant impediment to Alaska game managers or to my access for hunting and can be resolved amicably. I believe it is important to recognize the role that federal land management plays in Alaska and to celebrate the special mandates of the NPS rather than to denigrate them.
Thank you, ma'am.
Members of the committee and upcoming Commissioner Vincent Lang, I am in hopes that you will take seriously your very important roles in the oversight and representation of all Alaskans, and that you will do what you can to tone down dangerous anti-federal rhetoric on fishing game policy, access, and methods. There are honest disagreements among Alaskans regarding...
Thank you, ma'am. Can you wrap up?
All voices need to be heard. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Bale. Next, we move to John Sturgeon in Anchorage.
Mr. Chairman, good evening. My name is John Sturgeon. I'm here representing myself today. Just as the background, again, I'm representing myself, but I'm on the board of directors of Alaska Safari Club, Alaska Wild Sheep Foundation, Alaska Outdoor Council, and I'm the treasurer of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation in Alaska. And thank you for the opportunity to testify. I wholeheartedly support Doug Vincent Lang to be commissioner of Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I've worked with Doug for many years, both in the private sector and the government services. I served with him on the Alaska Safari Club board, and he's a hard worker and very knowledgeable person, and I worked with him professionally in his job as government services. He's very well qualified. He's very professional in all his dealings, and he certainly has very extensive experience in for a job like this. I especially respect his work on the Endangered Species Act and his protection on states' rights. I disagree with the previous two speakers that we should back off from pushing the federal government. I think the federal government is trying to usurp a lot of responsibilities and the duties that belong to the state of Alaska. And I think Doug will be a very strong advocate of states' rights and state sovereignty. I encourage you to move his nomination on. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Sturgeon. Next, we have Mark Richards with the Resident Hunters of Alaska in Fairbanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
Coming through loud and clear, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairman Birch and members of the Senate Resources Committee. For the record, my name is Mark Richards, and I'm calling in from Fairbanks, where it's currently 12 above under light snow. I'm the Executive Director of Resident Hunters of Alaska, and I'm proud to represent some 2,000 Alaskans and their families before you today. I was at the Capitol last week for this hearing, but unfortunately fog descended and Doug couldn't make it. I apologize. I can't be there in person today. First, President Harris of Alaska wants to thank Doug Vincent Lang for being willing to serve in the commissioner position at Fish and Game. We offer our full support for his confirmation. I've known Doug a while through involvement in Fish and Game issues over the years, and he really is unique among our past commissioners, and that he has experience in both the fisheries and game side within the Department of Fish and Game. It's ironic, some are saying he doesn't have commercial fish experience, but then others are saying he has so much experience in the Department of Game side that, by gosh, we don't like him. So it just shows you that Doug really has been involved in both sides, including the commercial fisheries side. When Doug was director of the Division of Wildlife Conservation in the Parnell administration, I was always impressed that he engaged the public and groups on various issues, some pretty controversial, and he always sought to bring people together. And most of all, he was always there to chat with and listen. And we really hope that continues. And as our letter that we sent in states, Doug has shown he will protect Alaska's right to manage our wildlife as we deem best. If anyone on the committee has not yet read that recent 41-page memo that another caller referenced to the Acting Interior Secretary defending our rights to manage the fish and game and prevent federal overreach, it's certainly worth a read. Now, we know that there are issues where we may disagree with Commissioner Vincent Lang, but our organization doesn't just support those we always agree with. Doug is supremely qualified for this position. We look forward to working with him on hunting and fishing issues, or hunting issues and wildlife management issues of concern to us, and we urge you to forward his name to the full legislature. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Richards, and we have distributed your letter earlier today to the committee. Next, we have signed up out of Palmer, Rod Arno with the Alaska Outdoor Council.
Yes, Chairman Birch, committee members, thank you for the opportunity to testify before Senate Resources on the confirmation of Doug Vincent Lang for Commissioner of Fish and Game. As I live in Palmer, Alaska, I'm the executive director of the Alaska Outdoor Council that has over 10,000 members statewide representing 47 different outdoor clubs. Our membership in the Outdoor Council has had the opportunity to work with Doug Vincent Lang for decades, from the time that he was the director of Sportfish. He's always made himself available to the public, and we have watched Doug Vincent Lang grow in his knowledge of dealing with the federal legislation that determines use of public resources, fish and game, on 222 million acres of the state. As a young state, Alaska has the largest land use bill of any state in the nation. And the workings through the previous bills dealing with land use, public land use, and what came out of the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act of 1980 was a huge compromise, and we're very fortunate at this juncture in Alaska's history to have a person who is qualified and willing to be the commissioner in fish and game in Alaska at a time that we should be able to work through a number of issues with the federal land managers and continue to make Alaska nation, if not the world's example of a publicly run fish and game department that gets allocation decisions from the public. And unlike other commissioners who will be coming before committees for confirmation, Doug Vincent Lang will be the commissioner of a department that has a dedicated fund and many of the hunters who buy hunting and fishing license in Alaska have worked with Doug Vincent Lang and put their trust in that he will make sure that those funds are continued to be used for the resource and for the opportunity of all Alaskans to participate in their favorite activity, dealing with outdoor activities and fish and game. Thank you to the committee and for your time.
Thank you for your testimony this afternoon, Mr. Arno. Next, we have in Anchorage, Sylvia Panzarella. Sylvia, are you online?
Yes. Thank you for hearing me today. Again, this is Sylvia Panzarella, and I represent myself and my husband, Marius Panzarella. We lived for many years in a big little fishing town called Kodiak. We have now lived in Anchorage for several years. I'm here to say that we strongly oppose Mr. Doug Vincent Lang for commissioner of ADF&G. We are not against ethical hunting. It's a great privilege and a necessity for many to put meat in your freezer. It's a great thing about Alaska, or one of the great things. However, from what I'm reading of Mr. Vincent Lang's ideas, he almost seems to represent, rather than the state, he seems to represent an extremist group called the Safari Club, which for many times they take, they have like notches on their belt, which animals they've killed, not how many animals they've put in their freezer to eat, but just how many they've killed. I've heard that he is the treasurer of the Alaska chapter of the Safari Club, and as standing commissioner, he appointed a man by the name of Edward Glasser to the Division of Wildlife Conservation. And Mr. Glasser is a registered lobbyist for the Safari Club. Most of the ethical hunters that I know and that are around Alaska do not approve of these methods. This is not the balanced opinion that Alaska needs. They've had some long-term rules that he is trying to amend. You can just look at some of the ideas that have been written down. I just happened to look at many of those today, and I was alarmed. I'm not reading off a page, as you can probably tell, but I had to get my ideas out to you. There's more to it than just how much money you can make off the wildlife here in Alaska. That's not all there is to it. Money can be blinding. And many times that's what you're hearing come across to people who make money off of the wildlife. Again, I'm just here to say that I want someone who can have more balanced ideas that represents our state more than you represent a special interest group like the Safari Club. So that's what I wanted to say today. So I thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate your testimony. Next, we move to Michael Hockadalen.
Good afternoon, Senator Birch. Thank you, and thank you to all the members of the Senate Resource Committee. My name is Michael Hockadalen. I'm an Anchorage resident represented by Senator Kathy Giesel, and I'm calling today to very respectfully express my strong opposition to Doug Vincent Lang's nomination. My opposition is not based upon Mr. Vincent Lang personally. I know him, and I've spoken with him quite a bit in the past. I want to thank him publicly for the assistance he gave me several years ago when we worked together with some concerned residents in Galena in finding sanctuary for three bear cubs that were orphaned by an illegal hunter up there. So not personally, but rather I oppose this nomination because this represents a continuation of the status quo in business as usual at the Department of Fish and Game within and through the Department of Board of Game. I work with individuals and grassroots organizations statewide who understand and respect the importance of sport hunting, especially subsistence hunting in our state, and these groups and organizations include many ethical hunters. We feel that this department falls consistently short of its mission to manage and use the development of our shared resources in the best interest of the economy and the people of Alaska. Given the brevity of time, I'll just cite two specific examples. The predator control program and intensive game management has been discussed already. This is certainly not established science. It is at best questionable science, but I've found consistent opposition within the members of the legislature and the Department of Fish and Game to listen to anything that comes from outside, science-based, peer-reviewed science, scientific articles and opinions from outside of here. This is also not intended to criticize ADF&G scientists and researchers. I know that many past and present members of that group are frustrated by some of the management decisions that have been made. And one notable example of predator control problems is the Upper Yukon and Tanana Wolf Control Program, which the Department of Fish and Game itself admitted was a failure recently. Second example is the refusal by the department recently to reestablish the Denali buffer zone, which parallels the only road into Denali Park for service for tourists who imperils our significant and sustainable tourism economy. The board has approved a buffer before, then they rescinded the buffer, and then they're refusing to establish it now. And it seems like it's an arbitrary and capricious decision being made at the whimsy and based on the political whims. This raises my considerable concern about the legislature's willingness to frequently abdicate its constitutional duty of oversight of the commissioner and the Board of Game.
Thank you for
a little example. Yep.
Well, would you care to wrap up, Michael?
Sure. I'll follow. Thank you all. I'll follow up with more substantive comments as you recommended directly to your office. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Yes, senateresources@akledge.gov. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we move to Stacy Kleinsmith in Anchorage.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
We sure can.
Super. Chairman Birch and the Senate Resources Committee members, thank you for allowing me to testify this afternoon in support of Doug Vincent Lang for commissioner. My name is Stacy Kleinsmith. And I have been a very active outdoor enthusiast. I'm a bow hunter, and I know Doug Vincent Lang personally. I have served on boards with him, and I have volunteered with him. In the interest of time this afternoon, my comments are going to be very clear and very concise. I personally want to mention that I have found Doug Vincent Lang to be an ardent conservationist who brings sagacity to the table, and he happens to be very approachable. One of the things I love most about government in the state of Alaska is that as an everyday citizen, I feel like I can bend anybody's ear. Thank you for allowing me to testify here today as example, and I have found Doug to be similar, that when I have input on a topic, he will listen to my viewpoint, and he's been always very willing to share. But most importantly, and the piece, other people have mentioned many pieces today, I really would like to personally emphasize my recognition of his willingness to volunteer his time outside of his work in the furtherance of conservation in the state of Alaska. With that, I wholeheartedly endorse Doug Vincent Lang and encourage you to push the nomination through. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Kleinsmith. That does conclude everyone who has signed up online to testify. Is there anyone in the room that wishes to testify? None yet. With that, we will close public testimony. And at this time, I'd like to invite Commissioner Designee Vincent Lang to the table and see if you have any concluding remarks, sir.
Well, there was one thing I'd like to clarify. I did write a 41-page letter to the Department of Interior, and it was interesting that I saw the request from the Secretary of Interior, Zinke, on my desk after about 2 weeks of going through the piles of papers, and I asked staff, I said, have we responded to this? And the answer was no. So I actually called the Department of Interior and asked them, okay, what kind of a response are you looking for? And they said, well, we would like a comprehensive list. So after a couple more weeks, I actually put together the list of things talking to staff because they had been working on it from the previous administration. And when I saw there was 41 pages, my first reaction was to call the Department of Interior and say, do you really want 41 pages? They said, please give us the list of the whole list of issues that you see as a staff member. So we're responding to them based on what they wanted from us. In concluding, I'm excited. I'm excited about serving as Commissioner of Fish and Game if you'll allow me to that opportunity to serve from the governor's appointment. There's a lot of challenges ahead. I get it. Finding the right balance between wildlife viewing and consumptive uses, finding the right balance between sport and commercial fishing, between personal use and subsistence. There's a lot of challenges ahead, and I think I'm ready for it. I'm excited about it, and with your blessing, I'll have that opportunity. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions or comments? With that, that will conclude our public testimony and your concluding comments. With that, we move to signing. If there's, without any further questions or comments, at this point we will pass around a signing sheet, which for the record reads, quote, in accordance with AS 3905080, the Senate Resources Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointments be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. That would be Commissioner, Department of Fish and Game, Doug Vincent Lang. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individual during any further sessions. With that, we'll take a brief at ease while we pass around the paperwork. Back on the record, and in closing, I would note that the next committee meeting will be held at 3:30 p.m. on Wednesday, February 6, when we hear an update from the Department of Natural Resources on the public access assertion and defense issues, that's the PAD group, and Alaska Statehood Act federal land conveyances. With that, this meeting is adjourned at 4:33 p.m.